For over 25 years, Shambhala Preserve has been a paradise for abandoned and abused big cats. This is in the Mojave Desert. And they're protecting animals. People have tried to have them as pets, or they've been abused, neglected for some reason. We'll find out all the details here, because we're going to get a history of Shambhala Preserve and the Rohr Foundation. We are joined by Chris Gallucci. He's the director and vice president of the Rohr Foundation with the Shambhala Preserve. He's known as the Elephant Man because he has managed to tame elephants and had a best buddy elephant, Timbo, who he'll tell us about. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Before 1975, you were living kind of a little bit of a wildlife, and you ended up finding your place, right?
Exactly. To put it bluntly, I have quite a checkered past. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't the Rohr Foundation. It was not Shambhala when I first found it. Right. It was a movie set.
Uh-huh.
And then it evolved from then. It was Tippi Hedren and her ex-husband. And so they had this idea to put together a movie. And I was a welder. I could basically build anything. And so I got hired on to just create things. And then I realized that these two elephants were in this barn, and they were the largest animal on the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted a piece of that. There was nothing that walked the earth that's larger than an elephant. Of course, whales are bigger, mm-hmm. but nothing that walks the face of the earth is bigger than an elephant. So I just figured, if I can master that, I've got something. Well, it only took me 30 years to master it. And then after the elephants passed away, the movie was done. Tippi and her ex-husband, Tippi's husband became her ex-husband. And that's as far as I'm going to get into Tippi Hedren's personal life.
Right, right.
And so anyway, so Tippi formed the Rohr Foundation, mm-hmm. Shambhala Preserve, a nonprofit 501c3, and I was the Elephant Man.
Timbo, was that the name of the elephant that
yeah.
you were taking care of? Timbo,
yes.
And he was huge. You guys had a great bond.
Yeah, no, Timbo was the largest African mm-hmm. bull in the United States. He was 12 feet tall, 11 feet around, and he weighed 5 tons, 2,000 pounds per ton. I mean, that's a mm-hmm. 10,000
yeah.
pound elephant.
That's a big animal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The Rohr Foundation, the name came out of the movie. Rohr was the name of the movie, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that was filmed in the late 70s and into the early 80s, and it was out in the early 80s. Melanie Griffith was in the movie, and Tippi Hedren. And Melanie Griffith is Tippi's daughter. So this movie happened. And then after that, this became a preserve, a place to rescue animals, to rescue big cats. What kind of animals have you rescued or do you have there?
Right now, we have 27 cats,
mm-hmm.
13 tigers, 5 lions, 4 cougars, 2 servals, 2 bobcats, and a leopard.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we have more. But we do not campaign for animals. We are a sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no buying, selling, breeding, trading, or commercial use of these animals whatsoever. We are a necessity. When an animal needs a home, if it's a big cat and or an elephant, that's our expertise, then we will take it. But we have to wait until they pop up on the radar. There is so much illegal activity out there, people breeding these animals illegally. That's number one. Number two is there's a lot of facilities that have these animals and they just somehow can't raise the money to keep it going. It cost us $1 million a year to run the Rohr Foundation Shambhala Preserve. And when people come out and they see it, they accept that figure because it's a nice place. We build beautiful compounds. We give the animals a really enriched quality of life. But then you start breaking that down, $1 million a year. And I'm sure people that are out there listening to this, you're all adults, you can do math. $1 million a year, there's 12 months in a year, that's $70,000 a month. Break that down, there's 4 weeks in a month, $20,000 every 7 days.
Yeah, wow. Astounding. How do the animals come to you? Why do they end up there? What happens to them?
A lot of times, if somebody has an animal illegally, they do not have it in adequate enclosures. And so let's say somebody has a lion and or a tiger in their backyard. They have Thanksgiving dinner. They invite the entire family over. They want to bring Aunt Martha in the backyard to see their lion. Their lion gets out of its inadequate enclosure. It eats Aunt Martha. Everybody freaks out because the animal acted like an animal. The authorities get called. The animal gets confiscated and we get a call. Now that's one scenario. The other scenarios are a lot of these facilities just can't sustain themselves. And so the animals just go up for adoption, or the facilities are inadequate. You, in order to have a facility like this, we're under a microscope when it comes to Fish and Wildlife, USDA, and animal control. And so they give you your permits, but they come and inspect, which is a good thing. They're making sure that you can take care of your animals. And so some people, if they can't financially keep up with the times, and as time goes on and things dilapidate, you'll get your permits pulled. You get your permits pulled, you get your animals pulled, then your animals have to go somewhere. So that's the other half of the story. So these animals come from various different places, but they're all from the United States. None of these animals have come from out of the United States. They were all born in captivity. And captivity sucks if you really want to put a, you know, get down to it. These animals belong out in the wild, but since they're born in captivity, they don't know anything about the wild. So they were constantly in a cage. And so we don't build cages at Shambhala. We build compounds. But our compounds, each one cost over $100,000 to build. So it's very, very expensive. But it's all about quality of life. We're cleaning up someone else's mess. Somebody else had these animals. And since they need a home, we'll give them a home. And once they hit our facility, they never leave.
They're there for the rest of their lives. And you can help in a couple of ways, right? You've got some creative ways, including adopt an animal.
Yeah, we have, Tippi calls it Wild Parents Day, and it's one of her favorite days. The first Saturday of every month, people that adopt the animals, you don't get to do anything with the animals. We do everything for them. But you get to financially support the animal. And so, and it goes various different financial needs. So you can adopt an animal for $50 a month. You can adopt an animal for $75 a month. You can sign on for a year. But then you come out the first Saturday of every month is Parents Day. And so people bring a lunch and then they watch my crew throw these big femur bones over to each and every animal. And then you really get to see the animal act like an animal. A lot of times when people come to visit, our animals aren't on display. We don't care what they do. It's all about the animals, not us. So if an animal doesn't come up to greet somebody that comes out there for, let's say, one of our safaris or events, it's perfectly fine with us. But on Parents' Day, you will see a lion act like a lion. You'll see a tiger act like a tiger.
Right. And you have also membership. You can become a member. You've got Louie and Ramona. The lions are the membership ambassadors.
Exactly.
Louie and Ramona. They all have names, by the way. All the animals that you have there have names.
Yeah. All the animals are individuals.
Yeah.
All the animals have a personality. So therefore, all the animals have a name. Some of the animals come in with names and we just leave the name. Some of them come in, they don't have a name, and so then we'll give them a name. So you can become a member, you can become a parent, and then you can come to our regular afternoon safaris. We're open one weekend a month by reservation and appointment. And then in the summertime, we have sunset safaris. And that just means that we're open that weekend a month, only on Saturdays, and you call in and make an appointment. And it's just different than the afternoon safaris. Not saying it's any better or worse, it's just a completely different feel. But it's all about creative fundraising. How do you raise $1 million a year in this word? I hate this word, economy. But how do you do it? You know, and so you do it creatively. It's all about the animals. All the money goes to the animals. And that's what we do.
Right. And you guys care very deeply about the animals. You're very dedicated to them. And Tippi Hendren, she was an actress. She's also written a book about Shambhala.
She did write a book about Shambhala, and it's called The Big Cats of Shambhala. But her latest book is called Tippi, and it's her life story. It's her memoirs. Mm-hmm. And, of course, her life story has Shambhala in it.
That is what she does now, right? I mean, she went from being in the entertainment industry to caring for the preserve. And making it what it is today, right?
Yeah, this is all Tippi's doing.
Yeah.
And so am I. I'm a product
right,
of that.
Right.
When Tippi Hedren's a very smart lady, I have to say that. When she made me the director 10 years ago, it was at a membership party, and she said that, you know, she'd been running the facility for all these years, mm-hmm. and she wanted to turn it over to somebody else, and so she had someone in mind, and I had no idea what was going on. All of a sudden, she just called my name. She had this big box and had a crystal gavel in it. And she said, okay, it's all over to you. And
right.
then I just looked at her and went, you know, this is a very great honor and thank you very much. But now this means anything goes wrong, it's Chris Gallucci's fault. It burns, it's Chris Gallucci's fault. Anybody gets bit, it's Chris Gallucci's fault. Therefore, it all goes my way.
Uh-huh.
And so she's perfectly fine with that. It is a dangerous business. And so you have to know what you're getting into when you get into this business. And then it's all about protecting these animals. There are responsibility.
Yeah.
Fires, floods.
Sure.
We don't throw our hands up in the air and say, come save me. Look at a firefighter and look at a police officer. When they went to the academy, they didn't take the course in what do you do with the lion that gets loose.
Uh-huh.
That's my job, not
uh-huh.
theirs.
Uh-huh.
And so I work very closely with these people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the most recent fire, the sand fire, it's my call. Are we going to evacuate? Are we not going to evacuate? And so Tippi just looks at me and, you know, and just says, basically, what do you want to do? But throughout the years, I have done this for 41 years. And so throughout the years, I am pretty good at making calls and reading the elements around me. Soledad Canyon lights on fire once every 2 years. And so I created this whole fire prevention program of constantly putting in water tanks, constantly working with the fire department, picking their brains, constantly building a huge defensible space for the fire department so when they pull in, they're not in danger and they don't have to leave my property because I can constantly offer them water. And so it's just called working really close with your local agencies. Then when you have a problem, the local agencies basically know you know what you're talking about. They know their mm-hmm. job. I know my job.
Thank you for being so dedicated. Anything else you want to leave us with, Chris?
Well, please go on to Shambhala.org or look up the Roar Foundation, and we live off of donations, and we're not competing with any other foundations or any other good causes, but don't forget about the lions and tigers. They still need you.
Right. The Roar Foundation.